I'm Andy Chanley from 88.5 FM. Welcome to another of our Here at Home series of teleconference interviews. Today, joining us on the line is Will Butler. Welcome in, Will.
Hello. Nice to be here.
Good to meet you. You know Will from his role as the famously animated keyboard player in Arcade Fire, but he stepped out this summer with a second solo album. It's called Generations. And by the time you see this, it's available. So go buy it wherever you buy your music. And the lead single from it, Surrender, has been played all over 88.5 FM this summer. This is my first time talking to you, so forgive me if I go back just a little ways before we talk about the record. You were born a Californian.
Yeah, born up in Truckee.
Truckee, yeah, famous yeah. for the Donner Party.
Yeah, we lived. We were very near Donner Pass. We were in Florestan, actually, a little town east of Truckee.
Yeah, I've got my best friend lives up in Nevada City, up near there, and horrible wildfires that they're dealing with. Do you still have family up there or no?
No, but my mom's family is in L.A. and still deeply Californian.
Okay. And throughout your life, correct me if I'm wrong, but you moved around a lot. You lived in Argentina and Texas and so forth. Was that that was a product of your dad's work in geology?
Exactly. So you kind of all geologists end up in the oil business, and then you ping around in the oil business.
Gotcha. Okay. And then you and your brother head off to a boarding school in New Hampshire. Now, the juicy thing would be if you were just tough customers, and your parents couldn't muster the discipline it was necessary to keep you in line, so they shipped you off. That's what I'd like to believe, but
whatever gets you through the night. Whatever gets you through the night.
Well, from what I've read, though, you guys really flourished there. You seem like intellectually curious people that really enjoyed your education.
Yeah, I mean, I've always been a big nerdy reader, and like to go to school and like have to sleep with a bunch of kids who are big nerdy readers and like into math and everything was pretty, I think everyone's high school years are intense. So it was very intense, but yeah, positive.
And so then transitioning into music, was there a fledgling band in your high school days or in your college days was it Northwestern?
Yeah.
Were there bands that you were involved with or no?
I mean, I always kind of played music with my brother, Wynn. I mean, when we were growing up, my mom's a musician and she like played concerts for the elementary schools. And so we were in her band playing maracas or clarinet or whatever.
Nice.
And then, starting in high school, Wynn was in bands and I was always just like popping in as the younger brother, like, oh, I can play bass. Oh, I can play tambourine. Oh, I can do whatever. I can pick up anything. And I was kind of just popping in and out kind of through my college years. And then in Northwestern, I was in a cover band that just played, all sorts of business. But I was always just in Arcade Fire, always just playing music with Wynn.
And so they just call you up one day and say, come to Montreal, him and your sister-in-law, and let's play music together.
Yeah, I took a semester off college in my sophomore year and went up to Montreal and started making Funeral. And then by the time I graduated, Funeral was out. And I was like, okay, we'll be okay. I'll move to Montreal for a little bit. It seems to be working.
Yeah. That's fun. Now, I heard you say earlier this year or earlier this summer that you guys were actually working on an Arcade Fire album this spring, and then all this business hit, and so you kind of had to bag that. That's not the story with this album, with Generations. You're in Brooklyn now?
Yeah.
In Brooklyn. And so you made the album right there with friends and colleagues of yours. Tell me how that all came together and the process for making the new album.
Yeah, so I put my first record out in 2015 and put together a band that's my drummer Miles and my wife's sister Julie is in it because she's a great musician and their childhood friend Sarah's in it she was like a Broadway actress. I was like, oh, you're talented, come be in my band. So I've had this band for about 5 years. I was like, let's like make some demos in the basement. We moved like south in Brooklyn, we could get a house. So like, let's go in the basement, let's just start figuring out these songs. And as we were figuring them out, it was like, oh, these sound pretty good. Actually, is this the record already? Okay, this is the record. Like, let's go, let's put the pedal to the metal and make this thing. And yeah, just kind of plowed through it, starting last summer through this winter and finished like right before quarantine hit New York.
Wow. Yeah, that's good timing.
Yeah.
You also said recently to someone that the first album 5 years ago that you considered to be a kind of a collection of short stories, whereas this one was more like a novel. To me, that says you feel like there is a through line to the material. Is that a way to put it? Why does this hold together more as a cohesive work?
Yeah, I mean, I think when you write a song or you sing a song, it's not, you're always kind of working with a persona. And in this record, the persona is pretty close to me. It's pretty much what I'm going through these years. It's not entirely, and it's not word for word accurate to my life, but the character in it is based on me. And there's not like a jury, it's not like a concept record, but there is an arc to the record. There's both sonically and emotionally. And there is, you end up in a different spot than you began it. So it feels like it, you know, it feels like you went on a trip across the whole record.
Yeah. The song Surrender, the first single from it, the song itself doesn't seem, you know, overtly political, but yeah. The video you did for it certainly has something to say, mostly about, you know, racial injustice and growing incarceration rates. You doing that, was it just, okay, I've got the opportunity to make a video for this and I've got a podium here. I'm not going to let this opportunity pass. I want to make sure I make a statement here in the latter half of 2020. What was the process for putting together the companion piece?
I mean, the reason we picked Surrender as a single, me and the label and friends, everyone's advice, but it felt like the most summery song. Like, oh, this sounds like the summer.
Yeah.
And then I was putting together, I was like, oh, I'm just going to make a making of video. I've got all this footage of us fooling around in the studio. It'll be really great. And I was like, wait, well, I'm making it. It was like July 6th. I was like, why don't I just make the video exactly what this summer is? Like this summer is, there's like beautiful flowers and there's been 6 weeks of protests and it was just the 4th of July. And it was like a very thorny holiday with all this, with people in the streets. And it felt dishonest to not make something in the moment because it was like, oh, this is a summery song. Well, what's happening this summer? Okay, well, let's talk about what's happening this summer because it feels too bizarre to not discuss it because that's all I'm talking about with my friends.
Yeah. It's, the everything that's in there, and if you go watch the video, you'll see there's it just looks like a heartfelt, kitchen table chat with you where you're, talking about the frustration of not being able to come play these songs for people. And then it kind of just ends up with a stream of consciousness. Well, this fact sucks, that these people are being, subjugated is not fair. And all of these other things, it feels at the end, like it does kind of snowball.
Yeah. It's just kind of, I think everyone's heads are just boiling over with the news of the last year at this point. And I just wanted to embrace that. I was like, this is the moment. Everything is just boiling up for everyone. Like, let's talk about it and then let's listen to some music and then let's keep moving forward.
How have you been dealing with the disappointment of, I mean, you started last summer working on this record. You work all last summer, all last fall, all through the winter, through spring, and you're finished with it. Oh, good. A global pandemic. I can't play this for anybody for a long, long, long time. That has to really hurt as a musician.
I'm so sad to not tour this fall, but I do have to say, both in my own life and from what I hear from friends and from music listeners, is people are really appreciating music right now. When music comes out that they care about, or even just listening to old records that they care about, it really is comforting and really is like a rich experience at the moment, which I'm very grateful for. I'm very grateful to be putting music into a world where people really genuinely seem grateful for new music. So it's not just like, oh, there's more content. Okay, I'll listen to it. Okay, on to the next bit. It's like, oh, wow, someone made something for me and I appreciate it. And as a musician, that's really beautiful, because we are at a time when you can put things out and it's just online and people click it and they click thumbs up or thumbs down and move on to the next thing. And I feel like people are taking time and taking things into their heart in a way that doesn't make up for the chaos, but it is part of the chaos.
Yeah. And I appreciate that people like you have not shelved the material for another time, because a couple of artists have done that, not naming names, but then on the other side of things, a couple are like X was supposed to come out with an album, you know, at the end of August, and April came and they're like, we're not going to wait until then. People need something now. You need a little breadcrumb today to get through, life. So they released it early, but I'm glad that people are, and you know, in some ways, this is creating some new efficiencies where, you know, you can just play with your little, you know, quarantine clan in your basement in Brooklyn and make endless music. There's something kind of cool about that.
No, and we just literally just now at the end of summer, start of fall, we just got together as a band for the first time and we're like playing music, because it's been, you know, it's been thorny and complicated and people are comfortable with different things and people have, you know, anyway, it's been complicated. We finally just all got together as a unit and it was so, there was such a release. It was like, oh yeah, this makes sense. This is cathartic. This is something real. Yeah.
Take me back all the way. You said at the top of the interview that your mom was a musician and also your grandfather was a musician. Yeah.
Yeah.
What was your first instrument? Tell me what your first gift of music to you was.
I really remember my mom always had percussion everywhere. She always had maracas. She always had like a güiro. She always was playing Latin music. She's not Latin. Her dad's name is Alvino Ray, but he was born Alvin McBurney. He just changed it to Alvino Ray for showbiz in the 1930s.
Which is great.
Yeah, it's great. But we always had percussion. We always had claves and sticks and all of that. And my mom would be playing Brazilian music or Mexican music, and that rhythm was always there. We always had a piano in the house. I was taking piano as a kid, but it was just like maracas and piano.
Do you remember the first time that you played for a group of people when you got finished and said, wow, they really, really like that. I could do this. I could do this for a long time.
I didn't have that experience until playing the music from Funeral, which we started, like we were playing Wake Up in the spring of 2003, and we were playing it to some pretty tiny crowds. We played for like five people in Providence. There were seven of us on stage and there were five people in the crowd. Two of them were my parents at the upstairs room of AS220 in Providence, if anyone's ever been there. But we did it and people just like, we're like, whoa, what in the heck just happened? You're like, okay, we're pretty good at this. I know there was just five people, but I'm confident that when we get to more people, they're going to have that same look in their eyes.
That's awesome. I ask this of a lot of people because I think it's a window into to the psyche a little bit. If you weren't making music now, if that weren't available, if music didn't exist, pretend for a second and tell me what you think you'd be doing with your life right now.
I mean, if I wasn't making music for a living, I'd still be making music on the side. I'd probably try to write for a living, and I would probably, if I'm not, I'd probably fail at writing for a living, but I'd be writing on the side. I probably, at this juncture, I'd probably be like working part-time for a political campaign and part-time for a cafe.
Nice.
You're like knocking doors and making coffee.
I love it. Who was it that just Kathleen Edwards, she several years ago she just got disillusioned with touring and said, you know what, I'm just gonna quit and go open a coffee shop. And somebody in the band said, what are you gonna call it? Quitters. And she did that. She went and opened a shop in Canada called Quitters, and it flourished. It's doing great. And then finally, Maren Morris calls her up and says, hey, come work on a song with me. And it just, you know, got her excited about everything again. But yeah, I like that idea of going off and just living the country life. and taking it easy. Speaking of food and coffee shops and diners, what's the best meal you made while you were in quarantine?
Ooh, what's the best meal I made in quarantine? We finally like busted out the grill at the end of the summer, and we had like just some epic, just classic, like sausage from the butcher around the corner who just grinds his own sausage. It's like Bosnian sausage. He's like a Bosnian sausage maker, and then like roasting marshmallows over the fire. It was pretty, pretty grand.
Oh God, sounds great. I'm in a house full of vegetarians. This just sounds fantastic. Anytime I hear about it. last question for you. What is that terrifying piece of artwork right behind you there?
Oh, this. It's an artist named Marcel Zama. He, you know, it's good for the nightmares. A clean, you know.
Hey, I wish you all the luck in the world with the new record. It's called Generations. It's available now. Go buy it. Will, next time you're all of this blows over, you have to come out to the station and play for us in person, play for people.
I would love that. I would truly love that.
Well, all the best to you and the family, and I hope it's a good fall, and you get what you want when the election comes, and we'll talk to you next time on 88.5 FM.
Thanks so much. Nice talking to you.
Will Butler, everybody.